Well, good morning and grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. And can I say Happy New Year? Because I don't think I've been up here since. So it's lovely to see you. I think it's okay still to say Happy New Year. It's lovely to see everybody. Today we're continuing our teaching series in Living the Way of Jesus. And this morning we're going to be looking at parables of the kingdom, looking at Mark 4. And Jackie's going to be opening up the word for us later for that. Before we start our worship, just various notices and things to let you know. Just to let you know that there's a joint PCC on Thursday and it's going to be here, which is lovely to be able to host that this month. I had a long walk with Dave on Thursday and I just wanted a feedback. He's feeling very positive, very optimistic, much more of himself, and I have a sneaking suspicion we'll start seeing Dave around and about in the very near future. So just to give you some feedback there as well. This week, I hope you've been aware that this week has been the week of Christian unity, where we remember and pray for the whole church and know that there is only one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we've been gathering in the evenings and praying and so on. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock at MEC, Malvern Evangelical Church, there is a service of Christian unity and all are very welcome. So please consider coming and joining that. That's MEC 4 o'clock this afternoon. Lots of other information is on the newsletter. Keep tabs on that. Go and see what else is going on there. And in a moment, I'm going to open up later on in the service an opportunity to share what God is doing in people's lives. A time of testimony sharing. Now, I know that's perhaps a little daunting, perhaps to come and share, perhaps come and speak at the microphone. But it's great to be able to hear what God is doing in people's lives and that he's living and active in our lives. So that's just pre-warning as we worship. If the Spirit just stirs in you to come and share something that the Lord is doing, that would be great. We'll do that in a moment. So let us stand. Words from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Don't we need God to guide us and the nations of the earth in this day and age? May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you, that the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Lord, we welcome you into this place this morning. We offer ourselves and our worship to you as a blessing to you. May we encounter you afresh this morning, be encouraged and enriched by you to be able to be the people that you call us to be. Light in a dark world, but people of joy and of hope. In these times, in Jesus' name, amen. So let us worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for how great you are. Thank you, we are nothing without you. That you lead us, strengthen us. You are our all. And we thank you, Lord, afresh this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. So love us now to have a moment of quiet and consider where we have noticed God at work in our lives this week or over the last few weeks. To treasure that and to thank him. And after we've done that, then I'm just going to ask if anyone would like to come and share anything about what God has been doing. But let's have a moment of quiet. So would anybody feel they'd like to share? It's very brave, totally understand that. And that's fine if not. Come on, Richard.
Obviously a bit spur of the moment, but I'll try and put it together. I've been watching too much news over the last few months and seem to have gone downhill slightly on depression. Thinking about starving in Afghanistan and bombing in Yemen and what's happening in our own country. And also I've been looking backwards rather a lot. Recently, I've written a book about my experiences and writing another book about my experiences, and it's all been very backward looking. So to cap it all, last week I went for a checkup at with the National Health, and they gave me a little questionnaire. And then they sent a letter this week saying that I was suffering from depression, which I didn't really want to know because I don't do depression. So I shared this with Sylvia, and I'm sorry I'm embarrassing you, but Sylvia's always very positive. You probably know that. Sometimes a bit too positive, but very positive all the time. Anyway, what she did, she grabbed me. She said, let's pray about it. I came up right close and started praying. And that night I thought, got to be positive, got to be positive. Sylvia's positive. So I decided I was going to get on with some garden stuff. So next morning I went down, I bought some seeding compost, and I took 72 geranium cuttings, several fuchsia cuttings. I put tomato seeds in, and I promise you, I feel so much better. Thank you.
Amen. Brilliant. Yeah.
Thank you, Richard. That's wonderfully vulnerable and real, and God working and encouraging you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Come on then, Paul. Thank you.
I think, I hope I'm not alone, but I think there are times when I feel I'm not a particularly good Christian. There are times when I look back on what I've done during the day and I think, you really haven't done what Jesus would have done. And I think at Christmas in particular, I sort of became aware more so that Jesus came to save us from that feeling. And I thought, you know, as a father, you love your children, whatever they do. And I just got that feeling that God loves you, whatever you do. And I just felt that was really what Christianity was all about. It was the love of God and the fact that Jesus came to save us from ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. The grace of God. We don't deserve it, but he still loves us, which is wonderful. Is there one more? Come on, Diana.
It's just about grace. I was sitting in church once, not this church, sort of half awake, and they said the first lesson is 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, and I was still half awake, and it said, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father. And it was as though a spotlight was put on it. I thought, grace, mercy, and peace to me from God our Father. I thought, how's that happened? I thought, that's so amazing. I thought, I've arrived. I don't need anything else ever. That was what you started with. You started with grace, mercy, and peace. Mm. And you just spoke about grace, this undeserved gift of God. So every now and then, I just go back to it. Guess what I've got? Grace, mercy, and peace. And it's for all of us, isn't it? That's the nice thing. It really is. To all of us from God. Well, that's impressive. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. That's wonderfully brave and vulnerable, and thank you for coming up and sharing. I last week had the privilege, someone not part of our church, but she lost her mum just before Christmas, and she was the long-term carer, this lady. And she texted, we'd made contact, and she texted me and said, could we please talk, because I'm really struggling with my mum. Her funeral was this week, struggling with the loss, and I'm really anxious about her immortal soul. And in fact, that's made me really anxious about my immortal soul and what happens. And I just had the privilege of spending an hour with her talking about Jesus and listening to her anxiety, but reassuring her. And it was a real privilege to be able to share with her the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for those that are sharing, and thank you for those that the stories that aren't told but are in each of your lives. And I just encourage you, pay attention to what God is doing amongst you and hang out with him. So even though we recognise we have the free gift of grace, we also know that we fall short of the glory of God. But we can come with him with no condemnation, but with confidence, knowing of God's love. So let us prepare our hearts. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let us say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Jean's going to come and read a lesson, and then Jackie is going to come up.
The reading is from Mark 1, beginning at verse 1. The parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Jesus continued and said to them, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Jesus continued with the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the seed produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say that the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds, our ears and our eyes to perceive you in greater depth this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jean, for that reading. Sorry it was a bit long. But you might notice, because we're all good Bible readers, that Jean left little bits out. That's fine. We didn't want her to have to stand up for too long, or for us to hold on to too much. But it's great. Just go away and read the whole of Mark 4. I mean, I love that little bit at the end, Jean, where it says there he spoke in many parables. There are hundreds of them. If you want another lockdown, if we ever have one, heavens forbid, do what I did in the first one and have a read through one or two and just dwell with them, because they really do take a bit of grappling with. Anyway, let's move that out of the way before I do something dangerous. So, the parables of the kingdom. Well, perhaps a good way to start this sermon would be to close our eyes tight and perhaps count to 10, then open them wide and shout, "Kingdom coming, ready or not," just like the children do in the playground at the start of a game of hide and seek. Because today we've got Jesus telling us a whole range of parables about the kingdom of God. And these parables are meant to open our eyes to the character of the kingdom. Or, as we could call it, God's perspective on the kingdom, on life. It isn't, the kingdom that is, it isn't what the Jews were expecting. It was not particularly what they necessarily were anticipating, and it was definitely not what they wanted. And I suspect, though, that the kingdom that Jesus describes in his parabolic way was just what was needed. But we have to ask the question, don't we? Why, oh why, did he proclaim the character of the kingdom in such a roundabout way? Surely people need to hear facts and figures rather than woolly stories and rhetoric. And this got me thinking, because we watch, like you do, Richard, we watch the news and our hearts sink, don't they? And we watch politicians doing what politicians seem to do best, which may not necessarily what we want them to do. But it got me thinking, because at Christmas I was I spent some time with my daughter. She was back from university and she loves a good musical. I'm not talking The Sound of Music or, I mean, that's my favourite, but she introduced me to a new one called Hamilton. I don't know if anyone's heard of Hamilton. No? Okay, you have. Yay! Woo! Brilliant. Well, for those of you that haven't had the joy, it's all about one of the forgotten founding fathers of America. His name? Alexander Hamilton. And early on in the musical, he meets one of his key opponents. And he goes to him, because the guy is quite high up in the sort of administration, and he asks for advice on how to progress his studies and how to progress in life, really. You know, he wanted hints from a mentor. The man's name was Aaron Burr, and his advice to Hamilton was this: play your cards close to your chest, don't let anyone really know what you stand for, or you could end up dead. I think there are some politicians that are still living by that. Now, not unsurprisingly, this advice displeases Hamilton, who accuses Burr of furthering his career by regularly changing sides and not letting people know what he stood for. Hamilton's mantra is, people need to know who and what they're voting for. Make a stand. Show your colours. You need to watch the whole thing to know what happens. But I'm not going to spoil it for you. But I thought, this is parabolic teaching. Now, at some level, some might accuse Jesus of this. After all, they're not easy, are they, the parables? But he used them to enable the message to be told without endangering the message carrier directly or being watering it down. They are quite hard-hitting. And if we look back at the first three chapters of Mark, you realise that the chapter four is set in an atmosphere of hostility and disbelief to both Jesus and his message. Now, Jesus had what we might see as two problems. He had the problem of the Romans. He also had the problem of the locals. Now, the Romans, their problem. Well, because the Romans, the only kingdom they were at all interested in was their own, their empire, furthering their empire, making more, owning more, possessing more, controlling more. The kingdom of God would not fit in well with them. It would have threatened their status quo. It would liberate people to think beyond what is safe, what is desirable for a man to think, and indeed for an empire to permit. And sadly, that's still the case today. And then we have the locals. Well, they were going to cause a problem because it wasn't what they wanted. Yes, they wanted freedom from the Romans. They wanted insurgency, they wanted revolution, and they wanted to overthrow the current order. Not unlike Alexander Hamilton in some ways. But they wanted to regain power for themselves. They wanted to regain their strength and their identity as a nation. The victory had to be strong-armed to drive out the oppressing Romans. The people weren't ready to hear the truth about God's kingdom. But Jesus was still compelled to tell them about it and to proclaim it. He had to alert people to it to help them adjust their expectations and learn to trust God. God's kingdom isn't about our wants. In fact, it's not about us at all. It's all about him. Because despite the kingdom of God being the great desire of Israel, Jesus knew this vision of the kingdom, God's perspective, wasn't going to float their boat. They can't hear, or they don't want to hear, and they certainly won't do what God desires. And yet, Jesus knows that those that do will yield big harvests. Jesus warns his listeners, listen well, remember well, pay close attention, because he knew that if they didn't, they would lose what little they knew or recognised altogether. Being of the slight deaf variety, I have to listen particularly closely, even with my hearing aids in, to soft voices. These things do not help my cause at all. So I have to really focus. But I soon pick up a speaker's voice and I get tuned in. It's like trying to pick up Radio Luxembourg back on the old days when you had the twirly discs. If I don't really concentrate, I lose receptivity altogether. And that's like the kingdom of God. We have to hold tight to the basic knowledge and allow God to lure us in deeper with his soft voice to unfold yet more to us. And that is his promise. Because living out God's will is to announce his kingdom. You might want to be cautious, because living God's way, loving as he loves, will just shine out of you, and his kingdom will come around you, within you, and in your relationships. Loving like God brings forth new life, restored life, resurrected life. And that may just ruffle a few feathers. So we have to ask ourselves the really tough question. Are we here to please God or to please man? To announce his kingdom is to let a little more of his light shine into the world. The deeper into God that we delve, the more we find. Just like divers. In shallow water, they may not find very much, perhaps the odd shopping trolley. But as you go deeper and deeper, more and more can be found. Your eyes sort of adjust to the dim light and we begin to see more. It's the same for the spiritual walk. The more we search, the more we'll find. Because we start to see God everywhere. And within everything. We're slowly freed from the lies that bind us in this world. Lies this world tells us about how unworthy we are. How he can't use us because we're weak, we're poor, we're human. Lies that we've been told and accrued over time, which we now believe to be the truth. The very lies that hinder our own rebirth. God's kingdom, his reign in our lives, help us to free ourselves from the social orders and ideologies designed to keep us at heel and under its power. It allows us to ask those difficult questions, to see beyond the superficial, beyond power plays and human-made restrictions and rules. It dares us to dare to ask the questions. It encourages us to challenge oppressors. It supports us as we seek to bring justice to the underdog and fight for the rights of our fellow humans. With no thoughts of our own personal glory, but only the thought that we must lift out of the mire our fellow humans from where they're being sucked down, beaten and subsumed in pain and distress. If we've ever thought that Christianity was a comfort blanket, or as Karl Marx once said of all religion, the opiate of the people, we need to think again, because it's subversive, it's empowering, it's freedom. We who seek God's kingdom should not just be looking far into the future to some great nirvana, some Shangri-La. No, we should be trying to start right now, to embrace it right in here and now and work towards its fulfillment. The reign of God in our lives is nothing less than a new foundation on which to build our lives, to base our opinions and to make our choices. It may not come to fulfillment in our life on earth, but we can stand in our lives offering to be the salt, that God's light that is needed to flavour the world and the life around us, because we carry that flickering of God's light within us. On our own, we just cast weak shadows, but together, well, together we shine brightly to those around us. And I know at times we might query whether we're going the right way. We have to ask ourselves, are we trusting God's guidance or listening to his voice? We need to stand face to face with God, with the mystery that is God, looking at him and loving him, just as he is doing to us. We need to strain our ears and our hearts to hear him and to feel his loving guidance and power. Not sure we're sure, but willing to put everything on God and let the roulette wheel of life spin once more. No, it isn't comfortable not knowing for sure. But God's wisdom comes from patience and humility. The patience and humility to live in the twilight zone, to live with both weeds and seeds, as we hear in yet another parable, kingdom parable, but in Matthew's gospel. We have to bear with, not rip up. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder with love and keep loving no matter where that leads us. That is God's kingdom, and our fruitfulness a sign of how we live it out. But it isn't easy, and it isn't straightforward. Those who seek the kingdom of God with no desire or interest outside their own small self, their little life, their power plays, well, to them the truth will be veiled. But once faith enters a life, little by little that veil is lifted and the picture, the bigger picture, can be glimpsed. So what can the parables tell us? We could start with the sower. We know it so well. If you're interested, I preached on it last year. It's probably on the website, so you can also go back and listen to that one as well. But just like in the parable of the sower, sometimes we do resemble those different soils. Sometimes we're hard and stony and nothing grows. Sometimes perhaps bad things have hit us in life and our outlook has been changed to inward looking rather than looking outwards. We become easy picking for the birds. Perhaps we've not spent sufficient time going deeper with God, so we resemble the shallow soil. Perhaps this world has thrown things into our paths, hindrances to faith and trust, temptations that beset and thorns which choke. Then again, perhaps once in a while, we are in the right place at the right time. Our relationship with God is good and strong, and we live in the flow of his love. We, and indeed he, we are unstoppable. Love flows out to all, and the returns for God are phenomenal. On our journey of faith, we change and we grow. Circumstances change. Imagine the sower as he's crossing the field. He's got a bag, is just scattering seed. The seed can land anywhere, at any time. One gust of wind, and he's just planted the guys next door. He doesn't know until it's been ploughed in, because that always happens after the throwing of the seed. He doesn't know where those seeds have landed. He doesn't know whether they're going to sprout and wither because they're on shallow soil. He just has to accept that seed can land anywhere. One hindrance to living a life in the flow of God's love is not accepting life as we've been given it. So we don't live the life, we fight against it. And hence the love doesn't flow. A day where love has not gone out to someone somewhere is a day lost. It might go to God. It might go to someone in need. Love has to flow for healing and wholeness to come, whether to us, to someone else, but we must remember it always starts by flowing from God. And what about this lamp on a lampstand, this not hiding your light under a bushel malarkey? Light, as we know, sheds illumination, unless, of course, it's in a black hole, in which case no light escapes, etc., etc. But light, the mystery of God will be revealed. Nothing remains hidden forever. Jesus' glory, like the lamp, will shine forth in the kingdom of God. The ultimate revelation is going to be far richer than we can even imagine. Jesus is telling the disciples that if they look on him, they are going to catch a glimpse of God. So I ask us the question, are we a lamp for those who desire to glimpse God? Will they catch a glimpse of God through us and our actions? He continues, because Jesus just rolls with great stories. He then goes on about the seed on the ground. What do we know about seed? It does what seed does best. Given even the slightest encouragement, it will grow. But we don't necessarily see it if it's been wrapped in soil. It will germinate, it will sprout, send out a taproot, it grows. Between now and its full revelation, when all scattered seeds, empowered by God's Spirit, well, they will continue doing the very thing in lives that we've scattered them into, very slowly growing. And then finally, the kingdom is like the mustard seed, small, perceived as insignificant, but it grows and produces such an abundance of growth, it provides shade and perches for birds. Now, what's important isn't necessarily what the seed is. I mean, we could discuss at great length and have a whole 3-hour sermon on different species of seed. Not going to do that to you. But what is important is what happens to it. Because in the Old Testament, the great empire is often described as a tree. And all the nations that make up a great empire are said to be like the birds of the air finding shelter. You have a look at Ezekiel 17 or Daniel 4. So the kingdom of God is like a great empire with many nations being part of it. Now that would have ruffled a few feathers with the locals. The church is the body of Christ, an empire in which all kinds of opinions and theologies find a place. As long as our hearts are focused on God and his will, we're heading in the right direction. Hence Christian unity. You know, it all ties in. It's an empire in which all nations meet, no matter what race or creed. Anyone who answers God's call is included. and there is provision of strength and protection for those that come under its shade. But this may make us all feel a bit daunted, particularly if we're not seeing much growth, much change. But we're not to be daunted by seemingly small beginnings. A mustard seed is a small beginning. An acorn, a great oak tree will grow. Sometimes it's down to what we want. We want to see the big. We want to see us having an effect on people and their lives and their faith. And we may feel put off because a job might appear too small, too trivial to be meaningful. But we just have to remember those little seeds. Whatever might appear trivial to us may not be to the other, and definitely not to God. Just let us go. Let go of this big ego thing that we all live with. The world, as Paul so rightly said earlier. Let's ride the flow of the river of God's love. Let our ego take a back seat. Let the glory go to God. Let's do our bit and not be put off by small beginnings. Everything has a value and a place in God's kingdom. Don't be deterred if you think you're on a hard path at the moment or your seeds are falling in shallow soil. Because remember, seeds do what seeds do best. That's the only explanation I can think of why my garden has got more weeds in it than plants. God's kingdom will grow. Man's limitations will meet divine provision. And at that point, everything can change. Ultimately, the kingdom of God will surpass the mightiest kingdoms ever seen or to come on this earth. But we remember that even the mightiest earthly kingdoms are built on the hard work of the foot soldier. We don't know who they are. We don't even remember their names. But great leaders need someone to lead. Yes, they get the glory, but everyone contributes. And so too with the kingdom of God. So let us, as we go from this place today, let us endeavour every day to shine more of Christ's light into the dark recesses of life in the world, to scatter God's kingdom seed wherever we may be, to whoever we meet. And let us pursue justice for those who can't pursue it for themselves. In all of this, let us enable others to catch a glimpse of God. Amen.
Let's just sit and ponder if there's something specific in what Jackie has said that stirred you. But if there's nothing specific, just what might it look like to go from here into the coming week to keep on loving those around you? What would it mean for you to shine as kingdom people this coming week? So let's allow the Spirit to minister to us. Ask those questions. So can I invite you to stand? And as kingdom people, let us declare what it means to be kingdom people by saying the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
This year, the resources for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity have been prepared by Christians in the Middle East. They are conscious that the world shares many of the difficulties and hardships that they experience. Lord Jesus, we pray that in prayer, differences can be put aside and we can work to bring your light, the light that overcomes darkness, into our world, working together. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and homes in recent natural disasters, and those who are bringing water, food, shelter, and clothing to these areas. We pray for the people of Tonga, the Philippines, and areas of America destroyed by tornadoes and fire. We pray, Lord, that you will give them hope for their future as rebuilding begins. And now we're praying for our schools and the impact COVID is having on teaching staff, children, and their families. Emma Thomas, the CE of Young Minds, writes, "The global pandemic has been hard on most of us, but many children and young people are finding life tough. Children have had to adjust to disruption of their education, along with isolation from family and friends. As a society, we must have a sharper focus on supporting our children and young people so they get the help they need. So Lord, we pray for those working in the child and adolescent mental health services, CAMHS, that more government funding is found so that those children who need help can get that help without waiting months or even years. We pray for wise discernment of the difference between COVID delay of educating our children and problems that existed before but have now been masked by the pandemic. Although we are told that Plan B shows COVID cases are dropping and restrictions are being lifted, COVID cases are higher than ever in many schools. There's little money for supply teachers. Many additional pounds have been spent on extra cleaning supplies and staff to carry out the COVID cleaning. If these high infection rates were in a hospital environment, full PPE would be expected to be worn. Yet our teachers go into school with just a mask. Teachers and parents get up each day not knowing if an email or text will alert them to a positive COVID case in their child's class or a child that they have taught the previous day. The advice given is for the child or teacher to do lateral flow tests for 5 days before going into school to prevent further spread of infection. This puts additional stress on parents, as many primary age children are not keen on doing these tests. If the tests are then positive, children or teachers have to isolate and are not in school, and this puts stress on head teachers and parents who work. The mental health of our teachers and children is at a new high, but so often overlooked. Yet these very children are our country's future. So, Lord, we lift this to you and pray for all aspects of our children's education, their mental health and that of all teaching staff, and for the home life of them all. In a time of quiet, we pray now for those known to us who need your touch, Jesus, in their lives at this moment. We lift all our prayers to you, Jesus, and then leave them with you so you can do your work in these situations. Thank you for listening to us. Amen.
Thank you, Jan. Please invite you to stand for the peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Thank you. Please turn to those around you and express a sign of the peace to one another. We're now going to sing our next hymn, song.
Thank you.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Please take a seat. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus who walks with us, the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." And in the same way, he took wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealing with our blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." Loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice for our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of our creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. So as our Saviour taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come. So we thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us to share your love and everyone we meet. Help us to receive your life, walk in your strength, and follow your ways every moment of our lives. Now come, all you who are loved by God, hear his call to serve others as he has served you. Hear his invitation to be part of his plan to rescue the world. Join the community of those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So come with faith and embrace and receive from the Lord. Amen.
us say together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live to your praise and glory. Amen. And Almighty Father, whose Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, may your people illuminate by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, for he is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Wisdom, Be Thou My True Word. As our service draws to an end, can I invite you to join us for coffee in the railway afterwards? I may have been mentioned last week, but in a few weeks' time, we're going to start drawing coffee back to here. We'll clarify the details on that. But in the next few weeks, we'll still be at the railway. I also meant to mention COVID, as we all have to, but as you know, things are opening up. The plan at the moment is just to continue doing what we're doing, but we will talk about that at the PCC and we'll let you know if there are any changes. But please continue to be wise and careful at this time, even though things are opening up. So let me finish with a blessing. May God give to you and all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful week, and see you for coffee for those who can join us.